beginning at verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for a church that you've given that we can come and hear the word of God preached faithfully and freely. Now, Father, help us not to abuse that. Help us to listen today and hear what the Bible has for us as the man of God comes and preaches from thy word. God, I pray that you would anoint our pastor for that task. Use him to help us today, fill him with thy Holy Spirit power. And Father, as been prayed already today, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray today they'd make that decision to accept Christ as their Savior. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, have you ever come out of a store and couldn't remember where you parked your car? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Good. Everybody over 40. That's good to know. Now here's what's going to happen if your cell phone goes off in the service and we hear it. You're not going to remember where you parked your car. And you're going to wander in the parking lot like the lost sheep of Israel, not knowing where your car is. That's how bad it'll be. So just make sure it's turned off or to vibrate. Check it right now and make sure. Inevitably someone says, oh, I thought I had it off. And then it goes off. We'll come back tonight for church and you'll still be wandering around in the parking lot trying to find your car. And so help us there, please, if you would. I don't think I'd be a prophet this morning if I said these are uncertain times. That probably wouldn't shock anybody, would it? Would you sit there and think, boy, I never realized that. Uncertain, these are uncertain times where things just, they change. Our brother Sales, last Sunday, was sitting right back there. Many of you walked around little walkers and stuff while they're sitting over there. And he's in heaven today. He was visiting his wife at the hospital. And had some problems, complications. Then he's in the hospital. Now he's in heaven. These are uncertain times. In our own lives, in the communities where we live, our world today, how things just, I mean, they just change. It still amazes me when we were in Egypt this past fall. We come home and then the whole Arabic world just explodes. And the government that ran that entire nation for generations is gone. And that's all different now. You know, the pyramids are still there and camels are still there and all the stuff, the Sphinx is still there. But the government that ran that country doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. Just like that. These are uncertain times. That people who live in this life become uncertain themselves is also not a shocking thing. People are very uncertain about their life, their future, their homes, their families, their marriages, their children, their jobs. I mean, that's not uncommon also. You live in an uncertain time, you're going to be uncertain about things yourself. But that's not the message this morning. Look at me. My message this morning is, why are God's people so uncertain in uncertain times? Now, I understand why the world is that way. I understand why there are people who just don't know if they have a job to go to tomorrow, or if they do, will it be there? How much longer? They're uncertain. I understand the uncertainty of life in many people's lives. What I don't understand is why God's people so often are as uncertain as the times in which they live. When I know the Bible is about as a book of assurances. It doesn't give you a cockiness, but it definitely gives you a confidence in this life. Apostle Paul would say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There's so much certainty that comes out of the Word of God, and yet I see people who are just as uncertain as the day in which they live, God's people. But now here's the good news. That's not uncommon, you know. It's been going on for a long time. Here's the account of the disciples with Jesus in a storm. And he is in the ship with them. And a storm comes up. The Bible says that after the storm beats on them for a while, they go down inside the ship where Jesus is. Well, look at the scripture there. They go down inside the ship where Jesus is, verse 38. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, verse 38, asleep on a pillow. And they awake and say unto him, we know everything's going to be all right because you're here. Is that what they said? Master, carest thou not that we perish? There, Jesus is right there with them in the storm. These guys are panicked. Master, carest thou not that we perish? They were as uncertain as that. Yeah, that happens to God's people too. But why? See, that's what we're going to cover this morning. Why are we uncertain in uncertain times? Why does the stuff of life affect us so much? Why do we get caught up in this thing? Why are we as fearful? The Bible says God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why does that happen to us? Why are God's people uncertain in uncertain times? Well, we're going to keep your Bibles open today, and I want to follow the scripture because we're just going to go right down through the verses, and you'll see why these guys were uncertain in this storm and why we become the same. Verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, Jesus saith unto them, let's go sink. Let's go down with this sucker. That's in the Hebrew, the Greek actually. Let us pass over unto the other side. Now listen, before they left and got in the boat and began, Jesus had already told them, we're going to pass over unto the other side. Do you think Jesus didn't know about storms? Obviously, if you've been there in that part of the world, you know the Sea of Galilee, storms come up very quickly. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, being the master of the sea, knew about storms ahead of them yet. And he made the statement before they left the dock, we're going to pass over to the other side. So this starts the whole thing now. So they got in the ship because Jesus said, we're going to pass over to the other side. They start sailing away from the dock because Jesus said, we're going to pass over to the other side. And the sun is shining and the winds are blowing softly, and they have every bit of confidence to know they're going to pass over to the other side. And you know why? Because Jesus told them they were going to pass over to the other side. And when the storm comes, all of a sudden they panic and say, we're going to perish. What happened to them? Number one, they left the Word of God out. They leave God's Word. When you leave God's Word and the storms of life come, you're going to be as uncertain as the storms that are around you. It ain't rocket science, friend. Trust me. We really think, and I honestly know this, it's a fact. You see it in the world today. People are looking for somebody who has the answers. The answers to the world's problems and the answers to conflicts in this world. Who can really solve this Israeli-Palestinian thing over there and the trouble between the Jews and the Arabs? Who can fix this stuff and the trouble with the economy in the world today? Entire nations are going under. Not just businesses, countries. Iceland declared bankruptcy 3 years ago. The country of Iceland. Greece is about to follow the same pattern. Much of Europe is in trouble. It's coming to America. If the Chinese ever call in the debt, we're in big trouble. There's this stuff that's going on in the world today, but you listen to me, my friend. You and I are going to be as uncertain as the world in which we live if we leave God's Word out of our lives. Jesus did not say, well, let's go over and see how it turns out. He said, we will pass to the other side. And when the storm came up, that didn't change what Jesus said, because Jesus had already said, let us pass over unto the other side. And the word of God is more sure than what you face. The word of God is more sure than the storm. The word of God is more sure than the economy. The word of God is more sure than politicians. Anything's more sure than that. The word of God is more sure. Listen now, the word of God is more certain in our lives. It is foundation to our feet. It is light to our path. It is food for our soul. It is water for our lives. It is everything that we need. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrows, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is the inspired Word of God. This book right here, ladies and gentlemen, that book is how we can be certain in uncertain times. And you'll be just as uncertain as your life and the things around your life if you leave the Word of God out. We become uncertain. For example, you'll never be sure, certain of your salvation until you have salvation based on what the Bible says. When a person goes to a church that teaches them and their church that you have to be baptized and be one of us and join one of us and do what we do, and they teach you that and they teach you a system of works of some kind for salvation, you never know for sure if you have it. Do you know why? Because you never know if you've done well enough. You never know if you've done right enough. And even those churches won't tell them that they're set because they want to keep them enslaved to their churches. When a church points you to a church for salvation, that's satanic and wicked. You better get away from a church like that. Any church that tells you you have to be a part of that church to go to heaven, you get away from that church. That church is not trying to help you. They're trying to enslave you to that church. I tell you what works, friend. The Bible tells us Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Listen to me now. The right kind of church is going to point you to Christ, because Christ is the only hope of salvation. And here's the amazing thing. See, the Bible teaches us that salvation, eternal life, is a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a gift already paid for, given to us, and we freely receive it by faith. When you trust Christ as your personal Savior and that His death on the cross is your forgiveness, His resurrection is your eternal life, plus nothing, minus nothing, and you trust Christ alone to save you, you've just done what the Bible says will save a person. And the only way you can know that you have and be certain about eternal life is, did you do what the Bible told you to do to be saved? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It has to be based on God's word to be certain about salvation. When a Christian comes to doubt their salvation, how do they resolve that? Do they go back and think about when they got saved? Do they ask somebody, do they call their church and ask them if they have their name on the roll? No, you think about it. Did you do what the Word of God says you must do to be saved? Yes, I did. I remember I was lost. I trusted Christ. I asked Him to save me. He saves me. The Bible says that's what saves me. Then that I know I'm saved. All uncertainties are removed by the certainty of what the Bible says. Now look at me. You leave the Bible out of your living and your practicing, you're going to be as uncertain as the world in which you live. That's why God's people get caught up in this thing. Look at me. We say we believe the Bible when it comes to how we live, what we do, don't do. We say, well, I mean, I'd like to do what the Bible says, but you know, that would really start messing with my living. First of all, you probably need your living messing with anyway. If you look at the Word of God and what it tells you and you go, whoa, man, that's going to mess me up, then guess what? You're messed up, not the Bible, number one. Number two, let it mess you up. Because all it'll do then is fix you the right way, and then you'll do what you should. This camp, I was preaching with these teenagers up there in Washington, the last night of the... They have a campfire every night after the service. And the last night of the campfire, this teenage boy stood up and he said, I just want to say that when Brother Johnson preached on Monday night, this was Thursday night, when he preached on that stuff on Monday night, he made me mad. And I didn't like him. I stood up and said, I don't like you either, kid. What do you think about that? He was serious, so was I. No, just kidding. And he says, but then I realized I wasn't right. And he said, and I got that right in my life. Look at me. You attach yourself to the uncertainty of this life, and you start leaving the Bible out of areas that you know you should be doing, or things you know you're doing you know you shouldn't be, you're going to be as uncertain as this world today. Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side. That was before the storm. It was good during the storm. It was good after the storm. Well, look at it. Look what he said. Drop down there in Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. After he calms the storm, Jesus does. Look at verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Faith in what? Faith in the fact that he said, we're passing over to the other side. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. All that stuff in the Bible. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them all that are called according to his purpose. Hey, let's quit quoting verses and let's start practicing them. Because practicing them is going to help you in your certainties in life. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you may look at what the Word of God teaches us and says to us and think, but things are just too complex for that today. No, no, look at me. We made life that way. I love the Bible. It simplifies things. I didn't say made it easy. I said it simplifies it. Just cuts through the junk, and this is what you do, and this is what you don't do. And I'll tell you what, but here's what happens. Look at me. See, we have answers while the world's still asking questions. The Bible calls it ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're questioning everything we are and believe, and we say, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, and we go, yeah, but what do you think about it? I said, I don't care, this is what the Bible says. And you stay with that. You have certainties in an uncertain world because you keep the Bible as a focal point. That's the centerpiece. You follow that. You know where you're going. You know what you're doing, and you know what happens. We stopped yesterday as we came off the road from coming back from Washington. We heard about Brother Sales and his condition getting worse, and my wife and I stopped there. We didn't even get home yet. We just pulled in and went to see him. I could tell he was way beyond struggling. I told my wife when we left, I said, if there isn't a move of God, this man is going to be in heaven soon. I didn't think it would be that night. I stood with him and held his hand, and he looked in my eyes, and I prayed with him and asked God to give him grace. I said, why didn't God heal him? God did. Severe diabetes had cut off one of his legs. The other one was going. The cellulitis got into his system and poisoned him. It was going to be bad. He said, I'm 90-some years old. He goes, it's time to go home. Yeah. Yeah, well, watch the rest of the world when they come to something like that. They go out screaming, crying, and holding on to the bedposts. This man says, not just because he was 90-some years old, he said, it's just time to go home. Yeah, that's right. You face death like that? Can you face things in life that way? You can if you're leaving, if you're keeping the Word of God in your life. You can't if you leave it out. Why are we uncertain in uncertain times? We leave out the Word of God. Number two, look at verse 36. Here is an interesting little statement here. And verse 36, Mark 4. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships. Other little ships. What's it got to do with what Jesus told them to do? You know what they're doing? I believe honestly what happened here, the storm comes up and they start looking around how everyone else is doing. How it's going with everybody else. Because there were other little ships with them. And you create uncertainties in your life when you depend too much on others. Thank God for people who are there for us. Thank God for people. You know, we make that statement, I know you'll always be there for me. Well, in truth, we hope that people will be. But sometimes they won't. Sometimes the people that you think would never fail you will. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. Sometimes you think people who would never, never, ever, ever, ever turn their back on you just might. Sometimes people who you think love you so much they'd never break your heart would. And if you depend too much on people, you're going to create an uncertainty in your life. Because we watch people, they jump from one thing to another thing to another person to another thing. They keep trusting those little ships in their storms. And they keep, well, if that one doesn't work, I'll try this one. If that doesn't work, I'll try that. If that doesn't work, I'll try this. And they're uncertain. It's Jesus in the ship that's the answer, not the other little ships. Not those things we just keep putting our weight upon and our hope upon and our confidence upon and our trust in. You find out in uncertain times who's really certain about who's the master of the sea. Who's been really all along just trusting, well, if that doesn't work out, I got this for a backup. And if that doesn't work out, I have this for a backup. Eventually, friends, you're going to run out, of backups. There ain't going to be enough stuff to back you up, hold you up, or prop you up. But Jesus is in the ship. You know why we're uncertain in uncertain times? We depend too much on others. Verse 37. I love this statement. I often use it here on other illustrations, but here's the passage. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. Last verse, part of the verse, so that it was now what? Can I ask you a question? Why did they wait till it was full? Come on, isn't knee deep bad enough? Seriously, you're in a storm and you're knee deep. Isn't it time to start getting serious about bailing or doing something? How about waist deep? Isn't that good enough? We're up here at this camp. They have what they call one of their activities during the day. They call it killer hike. Now, the elevation is not that high. It's only about 3,000 or 4,000 feet. But it's very dense forest there in central Washington. If you've ever been through real dense forest, you know it's like pickup sticks. How they, we drop them and they're full across. There's timber all over the place, down like this. And they told us before we went on this hike that, you know, it's a rough hike. It's about 5 hours of hiking, not one way, but total 5 hours. About turned out to be about 5.5. But there's fallen timber and you're crossing streams and walking logs and doing all this kind of stuff. Well, my little petite sweet wife says, I want to go. And I wanted to be there with the teenagers. I said, I don't know, honey, I don't know if this is a good idea for you to go or not. I mean, you know, this could be, if it's a killer hike, you know, I don't want to have to gut you and bring you back. I mean, this could be really bad. Because if you go down, that's what I have to do. I got to gut you and throw you over, bring you back. So I don't know, honey. And I'm thinking, you know, trees. No. Trees. Trees, big stinking trees. And not all the way on the ground, so you had to crawl over all of them. Some of them were just high enough where you couldn't crawl over them and just too high to crawl under them. And the thing goes from here to that wall over there, and then it's a cliff on this side. We get out there in the woods, and we're stomping around. We come up to a stream, and they say, here, walk across on this log. Well, the thing was about that big around. My left toe's that big. When my wife went over there, boys stood in the stream. They helped her while she crossed. I think I had to go over and walk across the stream, downstream from it somewhere. Well, when it came, I had borrowed somebody's boots, and I started going across this stream, and then I could see it. I kept walking, looking for more shallow spots. There weren't any. There was just a deep part that would come up just about mid-thigh, and I thought, I'm going to get water in my stinking boots. Squish, 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 all the way out to the waterfall and back. While she's having someone hold her hands while she's walking across the log, I'm over there in the stream wading through this thing. It's about to sweep me off my feet, and I could feel the water start filling up in my boots. Now, normally, if you're going to be out there, you take and run water out, get a campfire, dry yourself up. And I didn't have time to do that. And when my boots were now full, I realized I was in trouble because that was at the beginning of the hike. And I got the rest of the way to go with boots full of water. That'd do it coming back across there. And by the way, my wife did the whole thing. First speaker's wife to go out there and do the killer hike. She hiked the whole thing. I didn't have to gut her, and that was even better. I appreciate that very much. So the storm's beating and the ship's starting to fill up. Come on now. Knee deep, it's time to go get Jesus. Wouldn't you say knee deep, right? Is that what frogs say in the shallow pond? Knee deep, knee deep. Isn't that good enough? Right? Waist deep. Come on. The Bible says the boat was now full. And then they go down to Jesus. You know why you have uncertainties in uncertain times? You let things go too far for too long. We wait till the marriage is blown up. The kids are a mess. Everything's shut. We're in the hole financially. We got a big. We wait till we're just absolutely overwhelmed with things in life. And then we go to the Lord and say, all right, help me out. Excuse me. How about when things start to get? How about just a little feet wet? How about that? How about right there? And then say, wait a minute. This is more than we can handle. We got to get to the Lord on this thing. Instead of letting things go too far for too long before we get serious. Quit treating the Lord like a fireman. Every time you treat him like a fireman, I guarantee he'll help you, no question. But I also guarantee you this, something's always going to be burning in your life. You're going to go from one crisis to another crisis to another crisis to another crisis. And that's how people live their life because they keep pushing off God off until they can't handle it anymore and then they run to him. Don't let things get so far. Are you taking in water? How deep is it? Don't you think it's time to get to him now? Remember now, Jesus is in the ship. He's down there on a pillow asleep. And the boat is now full. How it worked with him on a pillow and not being wet and a boat full of water, I don't know. But I know this. They knew where he was and they knew how to go get him when it was necessary, but they waited too long. And then when the boat was full. So is your boat getting full? Look at me. Are we getting so proud that we can't just turn to the Lord when we just start to get our feet wet? Isn't that good enough? Come on, Peter gets down out of the ship on another storm event, and he slides down, starts to walk to Jesus on the water, and when he sees the storm, the Bible says very carefully, and beginning to sink, he says, Lord, save me. He didn't get his feet wet. He started to drop, and he went, whoa, Lord! And the Lord was right there to help him. He didn't say it from 10 feet under, friend. He didn't even get his feet to the water before he cried out. How about it? Is your boat getting full? Yeah, you're going to be as uncertain as this world if you let things go too far before you get to the Lord and get things right. Then verse number 38. That's when they come to him and say, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? They're afraid of the storm. Look at me. Jesus is right there. And what do they do? Wake him up. Lord, we're going to die. You got to help us here. What are they looking at? They're looking at the storm and not the Savior. Yeah, finally they get to Jesus, but excuse me, they're so panicked now, so fearful now, so uncertain now, that Jesus in their presence still doesn't help resolve their problems. They see the storm instead of the Savior. You see the problem instead of the resolution to the problem, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd rather look at the difficulty than look at the one who can fix the difficulties. We'd rather see the thing we face rather than see the one we're supposed to be facing. Don't look at the storm. Look at Jesus. Don't get your eyes out there. Don't panic. Do you care if we perish? What do you think Jesus is going to do? Let himself drown in the process? He's not going down with it, and neither are you, because he already said you're going to the other side. Say, well, that's easier said than done, Pastor Johnson. You've never been in a panic situation before, are you? Yeah, I know. I live here in the church and sleep under the chairs. Truth is, everybody's been there before. Has your uncertainty caused you to believe that the Lord is not with you and that he just doesn't care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Oh, yes, he cares. And yes, he knows. Listen now, he's just waiting for you quit looking at the storm and start looking to the Savior. He hadn't left them and he hadn't left you. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. Then Jesus steps up and calms the storm. And what does he do now? Look at verse 39. He rose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said, well, I wonder what that looked like, the water calm, just like that, and the winds just like that. Hey, you know what's more impressive than that? How about the disciples? Just like that. Lord, carest thou not that we... Where'd the wind go? Peace be still. I mean, just like that. I said just like that. You understand, dear people, sometimes God calms the storm. And sometimes God calms the child in the storm. Wherever the peace comes, whether it's the storm of your life or your life in the storm, I'll take the peace. Thank you very much. If I can be calm in the midst of the storm, then everything's going to be all right. Verse 41, we finish with this. Look what happens. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? These aren't just people now. These are disciples. He calms the storm and they look around and they go, do you see that? I mean, he just said, peace, be still. Everything. Did you see that? Who is he? Who is he? Here's trouble now. Look at me. Because they didn't learn their lesson from this storm, a couple more chapters over, there's another one. This time Jesus is not with them. They're rowing trying to get to the other side after he already told them to pass on to the other side again. And here comes Jesus walking on the water, and they all go, it's Jesus! No, they don't. They go, it's a ghost! They didn't learn anything from it. Next storm comes, same panic, same uncertainty. Come on, folks. Can we not learn a lesson? He's calmed a few storms in your life by now. I guarantee you he has. So he's still capable. He's still able. He's still willing. He's still available. He'll still help you. He's there for you, my friend. He has calmed some storms, because I guarantee, unless you got saved yesterday, you've been through some things with the God of heaven, and the God of heaven has been through some things with you, and he's calmed some storms in your life. Can you not learn the lesson of how this should work? Don't leave the Bible out. Don't get your eyes on people. Don't do the foolishness that got you in trouble the last time. Get your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep them there. Keep this book right in the centerpiece of your life. And when everyone else is saying, well, I don't know what this all means, I'll tell you what it means. You know what the Israeli-Arab conflict means? Jesus is coming. That's what that means. Yeah, bud, the ducks are in order and Christ is coming back. I'm not concerned about what they're going to do over there, because I know what God's doing. Everything's coming together. It's all right. Everything's going to be fine. And as to the world situation, we know what that means. As to my personal situation, I know what that means. I just got to trust God. He'll come through on this thing. Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And God puts bread on the table when the economy's good, and God puts bread on the table when the economy is bad. And God's there when we need him, and he'll always be there when you need him. Friend, learn from the storms. Don't have to keep getting the same lesson taught to you over and over again. To get your eyes on the Lord, follow the Word of God, do what the Bible says, and then you have certainty in a world of uncertainty. Let's stand our feet, please. With your heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.